Welcome back. We're so excited to have you guys join us for the Elegant Affairs 4th podcast. As always, I'm joined by Lindsay, and we have Andrew as our producer.
Hey, hey.
Welcome, welcome. And we have two very special guests in the what I'm now calling the clubhouse, the Elegant Affairs clubhouse, aka Andrew and Lindsay's downstairs
our
bedroom.
Basement.
The basement, the dungeon.
Clubhouse sounds much
there
better.
You go. Is Mike and Krista, and we're really excited to have them. They are freshly newly engaged couple, and so today's focus of the podcast is getting to know them and how they're looking at planning their 2016 wedding and how Elegant Affairs can play into that. So welcome, Krista and Mike. We're so excited.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we're excited to be here.
Perfect. So I kind of want to do a quick welcome back to Krista. Krista was part of the Elegant Affairs family back in 2011. She was one of the two people that kept me sane for my sister's wedding. So I'm very excited to have her on the other side of the planning. So Krista, why don't you kind of start off and introduce yourself and where you're at right now?
All right. Well, thanks for the introduction. I grew up in the area, actually. I grew up in Fife. So it's nice to be back home. I went down to California for my undergrad, so it's good to be home. And I came back for law school and just finished that a couple months ago. So now I'm drowning in bar prep studying, but, getting through that. And luckily we have a wedding at the end of the tunnel to plan for. So that provides a lot of welcome distraction.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Perfect. And Mike, what about you?
So I grew up in Skagit County, Washington, about an hour north of Seattle. And I'm a Coug. So
woo-hoo!
For the Cougs. Go Cougs. Yep. I'm a big Mike Leach fan. Like yes. As soon as they announced him, I was like, awesome.
We love the Pirates.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
I work for Nike in Seattle. I'm a retail manager there, and I met Krista a couple years back, and it's kind of been nonstop ever since.
Yeah. So why don't you guys talk about how you guys met and fell in love? As they both look at each other, saying who's going to talk first.
Well, we met basically through the typical kind of 6 degrees of separation. We both moved to Seattle. We'd been back in Seattle for a few months when a girl that I had just met and was living with at the time came in to the house with these three guys, and Mike was one of them, and they kind of immediately caught my eye, and I was stuck studying, but when they said they were hanging out, I was like, this memo can wait. And we hung out, and then I don't know, we all hung out kind of as friends for a while. And
it was really about a month before I realized that Krista was into me. And then once I finally got the signs and figured it out, and got the input from, my friends, hey, Mike, Krista's kind of, she's into you. That's when I realized, okay, cool, we should go on a date. And so I actually invited her over to my house or my apartment. I lived by myself at the time. And it was supposed to be a wine night. It ended up being a let's try all Mike's whiskey night, which was way better.
Yeah. And, agreed.
Agreed, yeah. And that was pretty that was pretty fun. I did a couple of times mess up by inviting a lot of friends along to our dates.
It was an hour before our first date. And he texted me saying, bring whoever you want. So that caught me a little off guard. In my mind, I'm going, I thought this was a date. But
it said you've been in the friend zone.
Yeah.
You've been friend zoned.
Yeah. What is this? But ultimately, neither of us brought anyone.
And I had no intention of anybody else coming.
The sparks flew, and
yeah.
Here we are.
There we go. Yeah.
Well, perfect. Yeah. Now, tell me about the proposal. Mike, how long were you planning it? And
Did
you do?
It was like the biggest operation I've probably ever done. It was a big ordeal. It was actually a surprise proposal. I mean, she kind of knew that it was going to happen at some point. But I knew that it had to be after law school, but before we left for our trip. We left on April 1st out of the country for 6 weeks. So I wanted to kind of lock it down before then.
That would give him a week window. So just to put it in perspective.
Yeah. So I honed in and got the families involved. We had already planned on doing
a get together of friends.
Yeah. With our friends, just kind of grabbing some beers and whatnot. Hey, we'll see you in 6 weeks and all that. And so I thought, oh, that's a perfect time to do an engagement party. So I let all of my family know, all of her family know that I'm going to propose, number one, and then have this engagement party. Got everybody's buy-in and they approved, and They're like, all right, we'll be there. And then planned it out. I actually did a scavenger hunt, like classic proposal, if you ask me. Got up early one morning, snuck out of the house and left a little note. It just said number one on it. And she opened it up and it said, someone's going to be here at 9:30 to get you. She saw the note at 9 o'clock. And so
now when you first got that first clue, did you like, okay, this may be it? Or were you just kind of totally oblivious?
Well, my first thought was, holy crap, I have 30 minutes to get ready. But I kind of knew,
right.
You know, we'd been talking about things, and so I wasn't surprised that it was happening, but I was definitely, I don't know. I was surprised, but I kind of knew as soon as I got the card. What this day was likely going to unfold. I was hoping that I was not wrong, because that would be the ultimate letdown, I think. But yeah, and so I just basically ran into the bedroom and was trying to throw together an overnight bag and make myself presentable and be ready by 9:30 for my ride. So
yeah, I actually had one of our good buddies and of who's going to be a groomsman of mine pick her up at 9:30, and they drove to Seattle, and as soon as they pulled up to Discovery Park, the chauffeur Jeff basically kicked Krista out of the car per instruction.
He literally reached across me, opened the door, grabbed my purse, and said, "Okay, see you later," and drove off.
Your ride ends here.
Yeah. See ya. It was perfect. And then I had three of her law school friends, three really lovely ladies, sit there with the next note that basically said something to the effect of like, "Go find Mike. Follow these colored ribbons down this path." Aww. My best man John and his girlfriend Angie and I had gone to Discovery Park a week and a half or 2 weeks before to kind of scout out the best proposal spot. Aww. You know, had to practice a couple times and make sure that there could have been photos and all that. And so that was good. And we found a good spot. It was overlooking this bluff, or it was on a bluff underneath a tree overlooking Puget Sound. It was really kind of perfect. It was like a great spot. It was windy, but I mean, it's Seattle, so, you know, there's wind.
Yeah.
But it was really nice. So anyways, she got the note and walked up a couple flights of steps.
It was like a 10-minute walk.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It was not like a
little. And your heart's like pounding. You're like, this is it. This is happening.
You knew for sure then?
I knew. But right. I was looking for John. I was looking for our friend, because the card I had gotten before that was, "You've seen a lot of our friends, but there's still a few more to see today." And so I thought I was looking for another one of our friends.
For another clue, maybe. Mm-hmm.
And then where he had positioned himself, I saw him probably 5 minutes out from, like, I knew I still had to walk 5 minutes, but I had seen Mike in the distance. So that's when I really started getting nervous and just really excited. And
yeah,
it was awesome.
You never get nervous too. So that's cool that you were.
She's very calm. She stays calm. Calm and collected under pressure.
So I was under this big oak tree pretty much. And, had a little table set up. There's a cool picture of us that was taken at a fraternity brother of mine, his wedding a couple years back, where we were dancing. I think I was singing like Barry White to you or something like that.
I don't know.
On the dance floor. And you're like laughing in this photo. Anyways, it's really, really nice. And so I had like that in a frame. It had like
had champagne.
Yeah, definitely.
Essential.
Yes.
Yeah. A couple of candles that all blew out because of the wind and a ring and.
Well, and one of the most special parts of it was he had planted who will be your best man on a park bench, totally incognito. I had no idea it was him, but he was taking photos the whole time. Aww. So we have all these photos of the whole thing, you know, him proposing, him down on one knee, us both cracking up and crying afterwards. And then of course, once I realized it was John, then some nice kind of posed photos, but it was just really special to have those memories kind of memorialized.
Yeah. Big shout out to John Olay for doing that, because like literally that would have never happened if it wasn't for him. Aww. We just kind of came together and we were like, okay, when we were scouting out a location, it had to be a really cool location.
Right.
And something that meant a lot to us, and that location did. And then there had to be a spot where John could hide, and this was in like plain sight. So we threw him in a hat, and a full zip, and we gave him a book called Essentials in Fly Fishing. It's a good read for those out there that are looking for something to read. Krista had no idea.
No. Well, once I saw you, that was kind of,
I mean, not to be, you were zoned in.
Once I saw him, that was it, kind of.
Yeah.
And then right afterwards, just as I was, you know, getting myself together, kind of stopped the happy tears, Mike told me that our little shindig of beers with friends was actually an engagement party with all of our family, and we were about to head right there. So that sent me into a whole nother wave of happy tears. And then John drove us to the party, and it was just a really wonderful day celebrating with a lot of the people that were that are the most important people to us.
It was pretty much the best day ever so far.
It was. Aww. I would say definitely.
It was awesome. Yeah. It was a really cool day.
Yeah. He gets an A+.
There you go. That's a good yeah. start.
Sorry to raise the bar so high, fellas.
So when did the planning actually start? The moment the ring went on your finger and you're like, oh my gosh, what do we have to do?
Well, we've kind of talked about, oh, you know, that day in the future when we get married, what do we want that to look like? So I think it's helped figure out some of the base planning in that we've had those conversations. We've had a lot of conversations even before we got engaged. And, you know, it was nice then once the ring was on my finger, we had 3 days to revel in it. And then we got on a plane and got out of the country for 6 weeks. And so that was really our time to totally relax and talk about some of the big picture stuff for the wedding and what we wanted without all the outside voices.
Yes.
So that was just so perfect and really helpful. So we were able to come back and kind of hit the ground running, with the nuts and bolts, but having that time to just relax and chat was really important for us.
Yeah. I mean, I would suggest that to like anybody, to any like newly engaged.
Just go out of the country after you get engaged. Yeah,
definitely go to Thailand. It's amazing. You know?
But I mean, even just taking just a day, maybe an hour, and just be like, okay, this is just going to be us. Just a dedicated time where it's just the two of you and you can spitball ideas. Cause I had some really, really terrible ideas and it was cool because I mean, it's Krista. So I could tell her and it was, okay, that's not a good idea. And we had 6 weeks to figure it out. And
we went back and forth on a lot of things and it's just nice.
Yeah. Really now, nice. Now we're good. Now we got the nuts and bolts.
There you go.
We're set to go. Yeah.
So how did you kind of decide on a time frame in terms of, we're not going to say the date cause it's all secret, but, kind of the season you chose without saying what season you're in.
Well, for us, we always knew that budget was going to be a big concern, as I think it is for just about everyone.
Yes.
And so that was the first thing that got us thinking off peak season. As beautiful as summers in Seattle are, they're still unreliable. And so we figured might as well take as much advantage of discounted pricing as we could by going outside of the summer months. And then just from my experience with Elegant Affairs, I knew we needed minimum 9 months to plan a wedding. And so we kind of gave ourselves a lot of flexibility within those parameters and talked with family and figured out what days absolutely wouldn't work for some essential people and what days would be particularly wonderful. And we were open and flexible and it all kind of worked out.
Yeah, it did. It really, the day kind of picked itself. I mean, or at least was honed in, and then it was, okay, well, that's the day.
Right.
Yeah.
So in terms of, you know, selecting venues, and you know, Lindsay and Andrew know this because they kind of got married on the almost close to off-peak season.
It was off-peak season. Like right at the cusp.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that played into ours too. We were like, well, there's a huge difference if you go in like the spring or the like early fall, because we got married in October and that was a huge part of our planning.
And the weather
too was
still great that day.
Oh yeah, and everybody kept telling us, oh, that's the best time, it's the best time. And so we felt really good about the date.
And I think we've been really lucky here in the Pacific Northwest. I mean, whether it's spring, summer, you know, or fall, you still really great weather. I mean, the winter is a little bit more unpredictable, but I think, you know, as evident, you know, right now it's what, 75 degrees out and it's beautiful and sunny, and watch when this airs, it's going to be pouring down rain, but at least we can envision right now we've got the shades open. So kind of, you know, when you talked about budget and kind of dates, what was the next step for you guys in the planning process?
It was venue. We didn't want to lock in. As much as the date fell into place, we wanted to keep it open until we found the right venue. So we had an idea of our dates when we were starting to look at venues and then seeing if, you know, our ideal date matched up with our ideal venue's availability and stuff like that. So that was something we really wanted to keep flexible as we figured out that process.
Because we both had an idea of what we wanted our venue to look like. You know, we kind of wanted to go to pick a venue that had it all, kind of, you know, where we could walk in and do a couple of things and make it really nice. instead of having to do everything from scratch. And so, you know, we think we're pretty close to picking one, but that was a big thing for us. So it eliminated a ton of places mm-hmm. right out of the gate.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys ran into that.
Yeah. Just listening to you guys, you're sounding just like us. So that was the same, kind of ideas that we went with. We had a time frame, like not a specific date, but then we had like a handful of venues that we would go back and forth and kind of look at the calendar and what they had, and one matched perfectly with what we wanted and the date, like time frame, and that's kind of where we went to. And that, I know you guys, so far it's sounding like our planning process.
That's so funny. Yeah.
Now on those must have lists, what were kind of the key pieces that you really wanted to have in that perfect venue for you guys?
Well, just having met in Seattle and fell in love in Seattle and living in Seattle for a while, we kind of based our location wise Seattle and then expanding from there. But we wanted something that had the aesthetic that kind of already fit our vision for the feel of our whole wedding day. We wanted to do ceremony and reception in the same place. Mm-hmm. So that played into it. We needed a space where we could do both of those things and have everyone still be comfortable and plenty of room. And, you know, we wanted a space overall that we didn't have to do a lot of work on
right.
to make it feel representative of who we are as a couple. Mm-hmm. And like Mike said, that narrowed down the list quite a bit off the bat.
And knowing their two finalists choices, these locations are just gorgeous that you don't have to do anything, which is nice. I mean, when you kind of go into a location and it's almost turnkey where it's just, you know, little, you know, hints of color, just a little bit of decor. Those are kind of venues I liked where it's not like you're having to, you know, kind of reinvent the wheel saying, okay, we got to do all this draping, we've got to do all this, and you're like, well, why are we picking this venue when we're completely changing it? So mm-hmm. I think that's smart that you guys had those must-haves. I think that's the biggest thing.
Venues like that are really reflective of the Pacific Northwest though.
Correct.
Too. I mean, it's just a beautiful place to be. Don't do a lot to it, so that is something that we definitely wanted to incorporate to a venue.
Right.
Yeah.
So in terms of, you know, selecting the venue, do you look into guest count wise? Have you kind of sketched out who you're inviting, who's making the A list, the B list, and
sure, we have a finalized guest list.
If there, that's you what you're asking. There you go.
Yep, we've got it nailed down.
Yeah, it came down. You know, we asked all of our family members, you know, if they would like us to invite anybody, and everybody was, you know, they gave us our list, and we had a number in mind. And even after the B list was added on, we still were at that number.
Yeah,
like,
well, that's good.
Sweet. Oh, yeah,
that's awesome.
That's good.
So that helped pick venues even better, or helped eliminate venues even more, I guess. Yeah,
we are really lucky with our guest list in that the number we had imagined in our minds before sitting down and doing the guest list, it worked out almost exactly. We were thinking between 130, 150, and I think after putting down our guest list, I think we'll be sending out about 150 invites.
So you're looking at that probably being between, like, you know, 110 to, you know, 130, 140. Yeah. So that's a good right size.
We're pretty happy about that. Yeah.
That's good. Because I think that's always the hardest thing is trying to, when you ask, you know, family and friends, like, okay, so do you have a plus one, or do I need to invite my cousin who I haven't seen in, you know, 10 years? You know, it's without hurting anybody's feelings.
Yeah. We have a few of those, but overall, it's, you know, no one came at us with a list of their 25 closest friends or anything like
and
that.
And their neighbors down the street.
Yeah. Right. So it's pretty good. We at least know everyone that our families requested to come, and they were already at least on the B list, if not the A list. I think everyone was on the A list anyways. So really everything was pretty congruous too.
Oh, good.
And we probably talk to people that are on the A and B list, like 90% of the people that are on that list every day, once a week, once a month, something like that. So at least they kind of know what's going on with us.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
So besides the venue, kind of have you thought of, you know, are you having a theme? Is there kind of a color scheme that you're kind of sticking with that you've kind of identified at this point?
You're the, go ahead. On
yeah. You're like, I'm just logistical. The creative is all Krista.
Yeah, we really like, well, maybe it's just me, but Mike is at least going along with it. Love him. We really want it to be very romantic and warm and elegant, but without being pretentious at all or uptight. So, you know, we are thinking a lot of gold, not silver. So there's that warmth in there.
Right.
Light pink and then with kind of an accent color of like a Bordeaux, like a.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Gotta throw in the Alpha Phi Bordeaux. Oh, yeah. Gotta plug
yes. in there. Because we didn't want to do red, like no. a, like a harsh, like fire engine red, but something with that kind of wine inspired.
And that color matches color. The season you have selected. So I think that those are really nice, rich tones.
Yeah.
So.
And I think it'll go well with the venues. And.
Yeah. It's going to be good. I mean, really, the colors are kind of perfect for everything.
Yeah. And yeah. my bridal party is myself, my maid of honor is my aunt, and then my bridesmaids are my three sisters, and all of us look the same. So as far as picking out something that will look good on the bridesmaids color-wise, was just really easy because it was pick what, you know, it was one color picks all or one shade picks all kind of a thing. So it was very simple in that regard.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
So in terms of what, besides obviously, you know, nailing down the venue, what's kind of your next on your to-do list that you want to kind of really just nail down and kind of finalize and then move on to the next thing? Since, you know, obviously you're studying for the bar, you know, the next couple of months and you want to kind of really focus on that. So I know that's kind of been a, you know, a balancing act for you.
Definitely.
Well, I think, you know, we wanted to try to get a lot of stuff done for the wedding before she really got, you know, neck deep into bar prep. And then I, you know, the Nike store in Seattle is opening up soon. And I literally, yesterday was my first day back at work. And so we were like, okay, we got to get a lot of this stuff done out of the way. So we kind of made a list of the important stuff, you know, budget, venue, blah, blah, blah. And I think next is probably photographer.
Yeah.
Right.
Because their schedules fill up so fast.
Yep. Yeah.
And we want to get someone photography or capturing those moments throughout our, like our best day ever. Is something that is really important to us. So we want to take the time to find a photographer that we get along with, that we can have a good rapport with, a good relationship with, and mm-hmm. we can appreciate their work, obviously, and that fits our budget needs.
Right.
Yeah.
So what are some other must-haves for your wedding that you've kind of thought about? Is it the DJ? Is it the band? Is it a photo booth? Is it just anything different and unique that maybe you haven't seen at weddings? Obviously, you did a lot when you worked with us.
I can think of a couple things. Yeah.
Well, I mean, chime in. But I know for us, we want our wedding to be like the best party that our friends have ever been to, kind of a thing. So DJs, we're going to go with DJ instead of a band. Okay. I think just we like the variety and flexibility there. But so we are hoping to find someone that will really get everyone out on the dance floor and having a good time. And then
we're going to have like a happy hour as people show up.
I love it. I love the pre-ceremony cocktail hours. I love the pre-ceremony cocktail hours. Those are fun times.
Yeah.
I mean, like, have a drink. I'm going to be having a drink. You should have a drink, too.
I'll have several drinks beforehand.
I'm fine if people sit down at my ceremony with a glass of champagne. Yeah. Please do.
I will be that close to doing it as well. You know? I mean, so that's one. And then we're probably only going to have like a little groom's cake. And we're looking at different desserts. I'm kind of pulling for pies.
It's my cake, too. It's a wedding cake. It's just small.
Yeah, it's just a tiny guy.
Like a small cutting cake.
Just a cutting cake.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm kind of pulling for pie. Like a lot of different pies.
Neither of us are very into cake. Well, to be frank, neither of us are very into dessert. But
we're not.
We do like a few bites of different things. So we'll probably end up doing kind of a dessert spread. And pie is something Mike loves. So that'll definitely be a feature.
Who doesn't love pie?
You right?
Yes.
The list is short.
I love pie.
Yeah.
Probably evil people.
I hate it.
Yes.
No, I'm just joking. Oh, okay. I love pie. No.
I take it back.
You had pumpkin pie shooters at your wedding.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. They were delicious.
Great. Yeah. That so actually, Lindsay, you want to kind of talk about what you guys did for your dessert?
We actually did exactly what you're talking about.
Cool.
And we had a small little like tiny cake, cutting cake, because I don't like cake really at all. So, and we had like mini Kahlua brownies, pumpkin pie shooters, blueberry macaroons. And we did stuff that kind of matched the season and the theme of the wedding.
And just little bites. Yeah. I think what you described, I think it was
tiny
perfect.
Little bites. Yeah. Like whoopie pies, like just something that everybody can enjoy. Cause I know not everybody likes the same thing. Mm-hmm. And that was the hardest thing for me. I was like, I don't want to get a cake and everyone's going to hate it. They'd be like, oh, this is gross. I want something that everyone can have.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And it was beautiful. And she did amazing colors and that it was almost like a decoration in itself.
Yeah.
So
that's a good idea to do the like different spread. I love the shooter idea. I've seen that in a couple places. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of that.
Shout out to Better Than a Boyfriend Bakery. Yes, she's probably not listening. She doesn't even have an iPhone.
Yes. But she doesn't have, she doesn't even have a cell phone. Not even an iPhone. No cell phone.
Oh, yeah. No cell phone.
Totally disconnected.
Yeah. So she's awesome. And she's up in, just a shout out to her, she's up in the Ballard Wallingford area and she's magnificent. Great. She's, I mean, any flavor combination you can give her and she will create masterpieces.
She's an artist.
Yes.
Definitely. Okay, cool.
We'll so we'll definitely have to get you guys in contact with her.
Yeah. And you'll get a tasting.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
That's always my favorite to do is the tasting. I guess I have to go. Yes.
Yes. When I asked my best man to be my best man, he was like, so what do I have to do? I was like, well, you got to come to the tastings. And he's like, what kind of tastings do you have? I was like, foods, desserts, wines. He was like, well, I'm definitely going to come to the wine one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty easy to get us involved.
It's not too hard to get people to help out with the tasting.
Yeah.
That's the easiest one.
Yeah.
So then with the pre-ceremony cocktail, are you guys thinking that you guys are going to do more than just beer and wine and champagne? Or you're going to stick with that?
I think it'll probably just be that. We'll probably just do that for the whole wedding.
Yeah.
Possibility of a specialty cocktail, but that kind of will come down to budget,
right?
Nuts and bolts as it develops. But yeah, I think champagne, beer, and wine is probably what it'll be.
Both of the venues that we're looking at, you know, we floated this happy hour kind of or pre ceremony cocktail to them, and they were like, oh yeah, we can definitely do those. Yeah. No problem. So
and I see that as like kind of the newest trend that we've seen probably the last, you know, last season, kind of the tail end till now. I think almost more than half of our weddings now have that pre-ceremony cocktailer, which I think is fantastic.
Oh, nice.
And I think it's just kind of a nice way to welcome your guests, like, here, have a glass of champagne, or, you know, and just it gives it a talking piece instead of like, okay, you're here, sign the guest book, take a program, and go sit down.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We want people to feel as soon as they walk in the door that they are, that we are excited that they're there and that they're in for a really fun evening. So I think, and we have a lot of, you know, party people on our guest list.
So lots of dancing.
Oh yeah.
Will ensue that night.
Sure. Hopefully.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun night. That's for sure.
Yeah. So what are some other must-haves? Obviously we talked about the desserts. We talked about photography. Obviously, you know, they haven't hired Elegant Affairs yet. but what are you looking for in a wedding planner and or day of coordinator?
Good idea. Well, I mean, from my experience, it's just having a day of coordinator that can handle everything from keeping mother of the bride happy to putting out fires with, oh, no pun intended, with like caterers or DJs that don't show up or anything like that. You know, just kind of being a jack of all trades and really making sure the timeline is good and just, I mean, everything that Elegant Affairs does and is so well known for is really my biggest thing, because the last thing I want is my mom or my grandma or my maid of honor or Mike or his groomsmen, anyone having anything less than a stellar time on our wedding day.
Right.
And there's just so many moving pieces that go into a wedding that I don't, it'd be very easy for any of them to get sucked into that if we didn't have a fantastic day of coordinator. So that for me is definitely the most, is the biggest piece of the puzzle for me when it comes to that.
I think something that I'm realizing is that I don't know anything about where to get anything for a wedding. And so for as far as maybe not day of, but just general wedding coordination, finding out, you know, oh, we need a photographer. Oh, Mike, I know this great photographer for you and Krista. That'll be super perfect from what you're telling me. Well, those kind of insights to what vendors will meet our needs. That's what I'm really looking forward to. That's what I'm going to value for sure. Going to want that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because as much as we know on some vendors, you know, what we really are looking for, we don't know necessarily where to look.
Right.
And so having a wedding planner and a coordinator who has all those connections and all that experience is invaluable.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think your summer long internship that you did with us, even though it was many moons ago, that kind of helped with the planning process thus far in terms of what to look for and then knowing, you know, what a day of coordinator does, for on actually your wedding day?
Absolutely. I mean, so many of my friends I'll talk to, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm getting at least a day of coordinator. Like, I've got to have a planner. And they're like, oh, really? You know, with your experience, I thought you would just handle it. I'm like, with my experience, I know I will not handle it. Because if I learned anything from my internship, it's that I don't know how people get married without a coordinator, without help. Like, I mean, for all the reasons I mentioned on the last, my last rant. But yeah, I mean, I think beyond that, beyond knowing that, yes, I need a planner, I need help with this, it's been very helpful in that I knew kind of bigger things like, okay, yeah, like knock the venue off, get the caterers squared away, just as far as the planning order of like the checklist, I guess,
right,
was a good starting point. And then just seeing, I think for me, seeing the all the weddings that I have, especially through my internship, was really helpful, just in getting a sense of different styles and different approaches to things and what I felt, you know, I could do that would reflect us as a couple and really help our guests have a really fun time and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So, no, it's definitely, my experience definitely has helped with the planning so far.
Yeah. For me, I actually have been to a lot of weddings that had no day of coordinator. And the amount of times that I've seen things, you know, be pushed off on a guest or someone who, oh, hey, if you're not free or if you're not busy, can you go hop and do this? That easily could have been addressed or planned for accordingly. That's why I'm excited for day of coordinator, to make sure that you and I are totally chill the entire day and that our families are.
Right. Yeah. Lindsay, was that kind of the same thing for you before you hired us for your wedding?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I just wanted to have the whole day go off without a hitch and not have to think about anything and have this group of people that would help us. I already had known what she did, and I'd been at weddings where they didn't have them, like Mike was saying, and there always seemed to be drama or a disaster that was happening that some, like, as a bridesmaid I'd had to deal with, or groomsmen, or watching parents clean up decorations mm-hmm. and stuff like that. I didn't want to have my family and friends do that, because this day is not only about you, like the bride and groom, but all your guests. And if they have to work, like, what's the point in that?
It's no fun. It's no fun for anybody. When you're already, especially at the end of the night, when you're like, okay, everybody gets to stay and clean up. And it's like, I'm tired. I've maybe had a couple too many cocktails. The last thing I need to be doing right now is standing on a 10-foot ladder trying to cut off, you know, 200 lanterns, you know, or packing things up, or, you know, who's going to take everything home. I think that's always the big thing is with people that, you know, I've been to weddings where there isn't a coordinator and I'm kind of itching to, like, take control, and people are like, nope, they chose this. And I'm like, but I just need to help. And, you know, that's just, I think, and you kind of have that community feel, but I think, you know, having that coordinator really helps kind of just tame everybody and just let everybody enjoy it. You know, you're already spending a lot of time and energy and just mental, just everything into this wedding that you want to enjoy. You want your family and friends to enjoy. So I think that's good that you guys have recognized that. And I think too, through your internship, you've seen that. I mean, you've seen the craziness with, you know, granted, my sister's wedding was great, was flawless, as you and Rachel were pulling the clipboard out of my hand as I'm about to walk down the aisle with my bouquet. But it's like, yeah, but it's, you know, I was able to still enjoy my sister's wedding while still being, you know, the lead coordinator. But I kind of let you guys really just say, okay, we're going to handle everything else. You go have fun, and you just kind of just, this is your sister's wedding. So I think I appreciated that, kind of seeing that from the other side. So I think, you know, the fact that, you know, moving forward, knowing what you guys want as a couple and how, you know, what the plan is to get there, and, you know, hiring a wedding coordinator is going to be the best thing for you, then I think that's great. Now, in terms of just overall planning, you know, what questions do you have for myself or, you know, Lindsay as, you know, our wedding day assistant / you know, former bride? I don't even want to say former bride, like newlywed. We're going to say newlywed.
It's fresh in my mind.
Yeah.
Experienced bride?
I don't know.
There you go. Experienced bride. Yeah.
I mean, I did event coordinating when I worked in hospitality too, so it wasn't like a foreign land, but... yeah, I guess you can.
It's always different when you're on the other side of it,
so to speak.
Yeah.
Well, I have a lot of, I mean, vendor specific questions, kind of a thing. Like Mike had mentioned, a photographer is kind of next on our list.
Right. As it should be. Cause again, you hit the nail right on the head that, you know, photographers are usually after a venue are the first vendor to get selected, cause they just book so fast. And, you know, Lindsay and Andrew got married in the off season, but it was still, you know, October is almost pushing it now because we've had mm-hmm. such great weather that, you know, these vendors just get booked at random dates, you know, especially with the season that you've selected too. I think you have a better, more open selection. But I think, you know, is really finding who you like, and with photography, what kind of style you like, what fits in your budget. Because I think for us is, you know, we have a great preferred vendor list, but I'm not going to send you to a photographer that is twice outside of your budget, because I'm like, oh, I love working with them, but I'm not going to dangle a huge, big fat carrot in front of you. And you're like, yeah, just kidding. You can't afford it. Cause that's not, yeah. But that's not realistic. And that, you know, that's not professional and ethical of myself. So it's figuring out, looking at your budget and knowing, okay, I like the candid style. I like, you know, the sepia and the black and white, and I, you know, or maybe I just want, you know, a disc of the high resolution images. I don't care about an album. So it's finding, you know, what you guys need and want, and then balancing that. Okay, oh, I've got somebody that's perfect. So it's not like a wild goose chase. I remember one client that we met, she's like, yeah, so I looked at all my vendors up on Google, and I'm like, you just Googled Seattle photographer? She goes, yeah. And I go, yeah, how many popped up? She goes, yeah, like 500. So it's like, well, how do you go through that? I mean, you can go through, you know, Yelp and Wedding Wire and things like that, but I think we kind of take the guesswork out of, you know, what's going to work. So I think photographer for you guys, the next thing. So figuring out what you guys want, what are those must-haves, similar to like a venue selection, mm-hmm. and then saying, okay, Lori, or whoever else you select for a wedding quarter, hopefully it's us. You know, these are our must-haves. Here's our budget. Who on your preferred vendor list, or maybe somebody that you've been dying to work with that just hasn't panned out. And I think that's just the best thing. And especially with photography, is making sure that you're meeting with that photographer, and well as, you know, all your other vendors, but looking at their body of work, and also making sure if it's a larger company that either, you know, especially like DJ that we've talked about on a previous podcast, that who you're booking is who's contracted. Right. Because so many times you book with a major company and you may not know who your DJ is until 2 to 3 weeks before your wedding. And it may not be somebody that fits with your personality. So I always say is making sure everything is noted in your contract.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. We've started looking at photographers, and I worked with one a couple years ago. I was a groomsman in a wedding, and I absolutely loved her, and her work is fantastic. So that was really kind of like a starting point for us, because I know, like, after the wedding, you were out of town at the time. And after that wedding, I was like, oh my God, these photos are amazing. Like,
and you had a great rapport with her.
And that's always the biggest thing.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing for us, was we, like, I just will not work with vendors that will just be, I don't need them to be like excited and whatever, but to be kind and courteous, because.
And genuine.
And like care. That's what I'm looking for. You know, that's what I don't know. That, yeah. I'm sure you're looking for the same thing. Yeah.
Well, especially with a photographer, they're going to be spending, you know, 8 to 12 hours with you, or even all day with you, that, you know, you want to make sure that, you know, I can go grab a beer or a glass of wine and do something fun with them outside of the wedding, that they're going to see you at your most intimate moments, that you want to feel comfortable.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's a good point.
And I think another big thing for us that we will need help with is figuring out an officiant, which is a vendor question on the surface, but is so much more than that, because it kind of structures the whole ceremony, which, I mean, at the end of the day, that's what we're all here for. Or that's what you and I are here for, at least.
Right.
The party is secondary.
Yeah. The party is important, but the purpose is the ceremony. And mm-hmm. so I think we kind of have an interesting situation in that neither of us are particularly religious, but we are relatively faithful, and so we want some kind of a balanced ceremony.
Right.
And so I don't know where to find an officiate that kind of meets that, how to shape the ceremony. I mean, we're all over the place with that, so I don't know.
We're super needy when it comes to the officiant.
If either of you have dealt with that before.
Well, I'll let Lindsay handle this, because she had a great officiant at her wedding.
We were kind of in a similar boat, how, like, we grew up relatively faithful, but not like a go to church every Sunday kind of couple. And we didn't want a minister. We didn't want like a specific, and a lot of times there's strings attached if you have to go to a specific church and things like that. And we didn't have those connections. And we had a friend who we'd actually asked to be our photographer, because he's an amazing photographer, but he does more like culture and scenery and things like that. He's like, no, I want to be at your wedding. I don't want to be taking pictures the whole time. And we're like, you know, that makes sense. We don't want to make you do that. but he's also amazing with words. And we were just kind of like, we were having a couple beers one day and we're joking around. We're like, hey, John, do you want to be our officiant? And he was like, yeah, that'd be great. And he wrote a very, like, he knew us both close, very, like, good friend of ours. So he incorporated kind of our relationship, and he kind of wrote, like, had a little story about how we met and how he'd seen us grow as a couple. And
And you guys had the most amazing vows, too, I must say.
Yeah. They're pretty memorable. We Rickrolled everybody in our vows.
It was awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and our friend joked the other day. He was like, you Rickrolled your friends, your family, and God.
You got to throw that in there.
Pretty epic. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But if you say them, yeah, I mean, they're actually kind of romantic. But
they are.
You know, I mean, just having someone who's close to you and knows you personally, it might actually be a better choice than a minister or an officiant you find online or something, because they might not know you personally. So that's why we went that route. But yeah.
And that's, I think we're starting to see more of the, you know, family friend or, you know, or a family member do it, just because, you know, they know you and they can, you would feel comfortable them telling, you know, an intimate personal story that maybe somebody that you've only met once or twice, it might not have the same effect. So I think definitely is, you know, looking at your close-knit group of family and friends, like, hey, is there, you know, somebody that, you know, we would entrust to do our ceremony? Obviously we have great vendors, officiants on our list, but it's, I think that's that most personal decision outside of, you know, the date and the venue is, you know, who's actually going to be, you know, saying the words to, you know, facilitating, officiating the ceremony. And being a creative, I think that's a big thing, is don't feel like you need to be, you know, that cookie cutter standard, like, do you, you know, hear the rings? You know, I mean, you've got everything from, you know, we've seen the unity candle, the hand fasting, the sand ceremony, the wine box.
Black and tan was pretty cool.
The black and tan, yeah, that was really fun. So it's finding things that are personal about you guys that you can infuse into your ceremony that people are like, wow, that is Krista and Mike. I mean, you couldn't have got more of a personal ceremony out of it.
I think that's what we want at the end of the day. We might not know what that looks like yet, but that's something that we hope to figure that out soon, and that, you know, on our day, that's what it looks like, and that's what people walk away and think. So,
and I think the big thing is, for this, at least for the ceremonies, you're not going to compromise, that you know exactly what you want, and you know at the end of the day what the most important thing is, at, you know, that you will be legally wed, and you know the party is, again, like I said, secondhand, but it's those words that you guys are saying to each other, not, you know, who's saying it specifically, but, you know, you look into each other's eyes and you guys are making that vow and that commitment. And I think that's, you know, that's always the big thing for me, is that I always say during the rehearsals is that, you know, the officiant may be, you know, a very handsome young man or a very beautiful woman, but you're not marrying them, you're marrying each other. So I say, you know, make sure you're looking into their souls. And my thing is, you know, you have all your witnesses all around you. And I think that's just kind of that peripheral vision, that you're going to see him as you walk down. You're going to see him if, you know, there's a funny moment that is shared, that you're going to laugh and you're going to look out in your crowd. But most importantly, you guys are looking at each other and saying, you're making these commitments to each other, and everybody else is witnessing that and going to celebrate that and also enhance your relationship. So I think that's the key, is finding that person that you know that can deliver that message. Is there anything else you guys wanted to add, or just anything that, last minute questions for Lindsay and I?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I think you guys are in a good, like, in a good place right now.
Cool. Yeah. Cool.
You guys seem right on track.
The affirmation's nice.
Yeah. Do you guys have a favorite part of the wedding, or of weddings, period? That
I'll let you go first, Lindsay. What's your favorite part?
Well, of our wedding, it was obviously our vows. It was so memorable. And then, but of most weddings, it's the party. It's the dancing and the getting excited with everybody else and celebrating with this couple that your friends or family with, and knowing that that's their special day. So
I think for me is, if the couples are going to see each other beforehand, and if I get to be part of that, and seeing that moment, I always tear up, no matter if I, you know, I don't know the bride and groom that all that well, if it's, you know, they've hired me, you know, our first wedding this season, literally they hired me 12 days before their wedding. And so I didn't really get a chance to really get to bond with them as much. I didn't even meet the groom till the rehearsal. And we didn't even do a rehearsal. I met him at the wedding. I met him at the wedding. There you go. So, but it's seeing that emotion, because it's that true, just raw emotion, and seeing that, you know, your faces as you see each other for the first time gets me choked up. I love it. After, you know, 150 weddings, it still gets me every time that if I can be part of that moment, even if it's just like crouching, you know, alongside of a building, so I'm not part of it, but I can just see it. That's what I live for. I love that moment where you see each other for the first time, and I will never get tired of it. I love it. But I want to say thank you again to Mike and Krista for joining us this week in the clubhouse. And again, Lindsay, thank you. And Andrew, thank you on the 1-2s, if we're going to call it that way. And join us next time. Again, contact us via Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, email, our blog, our website, any medium, we are available. And we're looking forward to starting the summer wedding season, which is quickly approaching. And I'm excited. We got some exciting things to go on, and I'm excited to follow your guys' journey. So again, thank you guys so much, and we will talk to you guys soon. Thank you.